Thank the Lord this morning for His blessings to us. Thankful that we can come together another time and look into the Word of God. Desire and interest in your prayers that the Lord would make the Word alive to us individually this morning. Written on the board, a question says, which wolf will win? There is a story of an old Cherokee chief was teaching his grandson about life. And he told the little boy, he said, there's a fight that is going on inside of me. He said, it's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, self-doubt, and ego. He said the other one, the other wolf, is good. He's joy, peace, love. Doesn't that sound familiar? Hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the chief or the Cherokee man, he told his son, or the grandson, he said, this same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person. And I think we can all acknowledge that, can't we, this morning? And the boy looked his thought about that just a little bit and looked at his grandfather and he asked a question. Which wolf will win? I'd like to consider that question just a little bit. In Romans in the 12th chapter and the 21st verse, very familiar passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, in the mindset of these Cherokees, there's two wolves inside. One of the things that are evil, the things that are wrong, the things that are bad, sounds very biblical actually. And there's also a good wolf. There's one of goodness and peace and joy and comfort and things. The scripture says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, there is in all of our lives, there is a struggle going on. And there is a lot of evil that we are wanting to overcome. And the only way that we are going to be able to overcome evil this morning is through Jesus Christ. We do not have the ability in our own strength to overcome the forces of evil. From the very beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world, we find Cain and Abel. One's a murderer. One lost his life. We find pride. We found arrogance. We found all of these sinful things coming into play in a sinful world, and it's still at work today. And we were shapen, was it not the psalmist that said, I was shapen in iniquity? In other words, we do not have to teach our children to be bad. We have to teach them to be good. There's a struggle that's going on. And there's a struggle in our world, and there is still a struggle that is going on within people. Now, if you'll turn with me over to Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. And before that passage starts, remember the chapters in the Bible were set by the translators for ease of reference. So there are some times to get the full picture, you have to actually read above the chapter or into the next chapter. But here Paul in the 7th chapter was talking about, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Because he was warring in the verse previous to that. He was warring in his spirit. He wanted to do the good things, but he found himself going back and doing the things he didn't want to do. You know, that's the condition of a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are saying, I would like to do right, and they're losing their hope because they keep falling back into things that are wrong. But I am thankful this morning that through Jesus Christ, there is a place that we can overcome evil. Which wolf will win? You know, that's a question for us individually in our own life. Who's going to win? Well, Paul said, I'm wretched. You know, it's miserable when you want to do good and you keep doing bad. It means there's a bondage there. Well, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that begins almost to sound a little confusing. So we can serve God with the mind, but the flesh is still sinful. But let's read on. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then he goes through talking about what the law could not do. The do's and don'ts. It did not have the power to conquer that evil wolf inside. Didn't have the power to do it. And so it said, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not after what? The flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which wolf is going to win? Well, there is a struggle going on inside of people. But folks, Jesus came to condemn sin in the flesh, that through the power of His Son, we can conquer the power of sin in our life. There is a place in Jesus Christ and through the power of His blood this morning that we can live without the moral violations that the law was incapable of delivering mankind from. There's power through Christ to overcome that. But we want to recognize something. Do we still have the potential for bad or evil? You see, this has been something that has confused a lot of people down through times in a theological way. They think if I serve God and we're serving the Lord, then I should be delivered from all of this power of the flesh, that I should be exempt from this evil, and that I can just live righteously and never have to struggle anymore. And there are young people that get ensnared in this mindset, and it causes discouragement. If I'm saved, then why am I struggling? If I'm really forgiven of my sins, there is a place through forgiveness of sin and through the power of the blood of Jesus that we can say no to the flesh. We can say no. That is the greatest power of deliverance, and it is also the function of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you receive the Spirit, you would be endued with what? Power. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life is the power to say no to what? To the flesh. But we are still in the flesh. Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness. Did that mean he wasn't holy? Did it mean he wasn't righteous? No, it meant he was a man. It meant he was still in this mortal flesh, which means there is still a draw from the world and from the enemy, a draw because of being in the flesh to do what's wrong. And that's called temptation. But through Christ, we can say no to the enemy. So if you are wrestling with temptation this morning, that's a good thing. Don't be discouraged by it. And I know it can get wearing sometimes. And I know the battle can get tiring, but understand there is a place through Christ that we and the Holy Spirit that we can keep saying no to the flesh. The true deliverance from even the very presence, we're saved from the power of sin in this life. And when the Lord comes back and says it's enough, we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin when we go into heaven. It's the absence of sin. But in this life, there's still a battle that's going on. We're in a spiritual warfare, which means that the enemy is going to use every weakness, every tendency or propensity of the flesh to try to take us back and to conquer us that we would do evil or do what's wrong. Well, we all have the propensity to sin. You see, just because we are saved does not mean we don't have the potential to sin. We do. We still have the potential to sin. The Lord does not come in when we're saved and even when we receive the Holy Spirit and take out of us the ability to sin, because we still have choice. As long as we have free will, we have the potential to commit sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, He gives us the power and enables us to say no to the bad wolf, to say no to the evil of the flesh, and He gives us the ability to say yes to those things that are good. But you understand, there is not only power in saying no to what's wrong. We can spend our lives and our focus full of saying no to what's wrong. But we not only want to say no to what's wrong, we need to say yes to what's good. There are some people that try to serve the Lord by just fighting an offensive or a defensive warfare, always saying no to the flesh. No, no, no. We have to say no to the flesh. But you know, a defensive war will only end in inevitable defeat. We're going to end up losing the battle if we only are fighting defensively. But we need to fight offensively and say yes to God. Yes to what's good. Yes, I choose the love of God. I choose humility. I choose forgiveness. I choose purity. And we still have to say no to impurity and no to unforgiveness and no to pride. But I want to go a step further. I want to say no over here, but I want to say yes to God. In my life, daily, actively saying yes to those things that are good, there is power to live a holy life this morning. There is power for us to do that. In Galatians 5, verse 16, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not..." What? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. So is there any flesh still there? It's still there. And I've heard people make some pretty wild statements. You know, the flesh is still there. Flesh is still there. But walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Again, we don't teach our children to be, we don't have to teach them to be bad. The flesh is going to tend to those things of unrighteousness. We don't have to teach our children to tell a lie. For somehow, they usually discover it somewhere along the line, don't they? And so then we have to start teaching them to tell the truth. You have to say no to the untruth and say yes to what is true. Same thing with purity. And now we'll get out of the children. We'll talk to adults. It's not an issue of just saying no to impurity. We're still in the flesh. The devil is still trying to tempt all of us with the things of the flesh. So we have to keep a guard up and say no to impurity. But I want to actively fill my life today with, Lord, I say yes to purity. I choose, Lord, I want, in the struggles that people have, some struggle with pride, and some struggle with insecurities, and some struggle with... It's because we're in the flesh. So what are we going to do with it? Which wolf is going to win in our lives? There's power this morning. The good news is there is power to live a holy life, but there is a battle going on. So he said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're not exempt from temptation. He goes on in the 19th verse to tell us what the works of the flesh are. Now, think about these two wolves. And understand, this is from a Native American story, okay? But put it in this context. The works of the flesh Adultery? Well, I'm saved. I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit. Adultery? What wolf will win? Are there still temptations? The answer to that is yes. And we could point out many a man or woman of God who has lost their soul because the wolf of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that wolf won. But why did it win? Did it have to win? No, we're all in the flesh. And I'm not wanting to exalt the power of the flesh this morning. Okay? I want us to understand that. But I want us to understand, which we all know it. We all know it because we're all living. We're all living in this. But the flesh is a reality of life. The tendencies, the temptations. But yet, through Christ and through the Spirit, we can say no. So he said adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And then listen to what he said. I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Black and white statement. He said, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In another location where he says it very similarly, he says, but such were some of you. But you have been washed. You have been cleansed. What a wonderful testimony to say, yes, I did do those things. There, the wolf, the bad wolf was winning in my life, but thanks be to God through Christ, which gave me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord that there is power this morning to say no flesh. That the enemy is trying to use its tendencies and propensities. He's trying to use those things for sin. But yet through the power of Jesus Christ, he came to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And being cleansed from all unrighteousness does not mean that we're not tempted, but it means we have power now to say no. By the grace of God, by the grace and power of God, I'm going to live righteously. And then he told us the good things. Those were the works of the flesh. He said the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he said, they that are Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, if you say, well, if you're crucified, you've been put to death, so then it's dead, it's over, finished, no more problem, right? But yet we're still walking in the flesh. But our flesh needs to be crucified, that I have put to death the power of those things in my life. You know, you can put those to death where it has, does not have power. Still be tempted. It's going to still have an allure at times. But there's power to crucify those things. Put them to death that those affections and lusts do not have strength in my life. But what does have strength is love and joy and peace. Isn't that wonderful? So yes, there's a battle going on between these two. But that's why he said, if you're in the Spirit, he said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Let our daily choices be walking after those things that are good, pursuing those things that are good. Here he gives 17 examples of the works of the flesh. And the devil uses all of those in some form or fashion to tempt. Some of those deal with sexual sins, impurity, impure minds. You know, the enemy uses things all around us in our world and society to try to entice or to allure. Which wolf's going to win? There are some of these sins that were misguided allegiances, idolatry. That's putting your devotion on something other than God. in the young people's class, we've still been talking about the same passage. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And where's the world come from? A lot of it comes from in here. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are things that come from inside the flesh. You see? But Jesus and the Spirit came to purify and sanctify that we can say no to those things. That we have power over that. So Jesus said, watch and pray. Well, then, before I read that, the other part of this is, he talks about personal relationships. We talk about hatred and envy, and he was talking about relationships, interpersonal relationships. So that's where the enemy works, isn't it? He works on all these different fronts. And so Jesus told his disciples, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into what? Okay, was he saying pray that you won't have temptation? That's not what he was saying. He was saying, pray that you don't enter into it. It's going to be there. We're going to be tempted. But he said, watch. Be careful what's going on around you and be observant and recognize that there is a battle. Recognize that I'm still in the flesh. There have been many people that have gotten so confident spiritually that they let down their guards. Confident spiritually that almost thought like they thought they must be immune to temptation, and they placed themselves in vulnerable situations and they lost out with God. So Jesus, none of us, let's not go down that road, folks. Let's watch and pray. Let's recognize there is a battle, there's a warfare, we can overcome and we will through the power of God, but we also have a responsibility. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Flesh is weak. Is your flesh weak? Sound pretty strong. That's an indication that you're setting yourself up for failure. Folks, we are weak in the flesh, but the spirit can conquer the things of the flesh. If we will walk in the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, you know the story of the tortoise and the hare? Who won? The tortoise. I about said the hare. The tortoise won. Because, you know, the hare, the rabbit, it could have won, but what happened? It got distracted. It got distracted with the cares of life and with the things around it. And folks, if we're going to win, if we're going to live a life of victory, we say, which wolf is going to win? The one when we can keep our focus and run with patience the race that is set before us. What must we do? Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Willing, as Jesus said, if your hand offend you, do what to it? Cut it off. He didn't say, well, who gave us our hand? Who gave it to us? God did. God gave me that. But he said, if it's going to hinder you, if it's going to be a problem for you, he said, cut it off. Because I would rather go into heaven and go through life maimed in the flesh and maintain my integrity with God than be able to have all my appendages and yet that be my downfall in life. So which wolf is going to win? Folks, it has to do. The power of God is there. Okay? But I want to talk to us just briefly about our part. Which wolf is going to win is going to be dependent upon the choices that we're making, because there is power in the Lord to overcome. Are we willing to lay aside the things that we know are a hindrance to us spiritually? That's part of the answer. Which wolf is going to win? Are you willing to lay aside the things that you know are a hindrance? And if everybody else is doing it, that's really immaterial. This thing is hindering me spiritually. It's drawing me to... I can feel it and I see what's happening, so I'm going to get rid of this in my life. I'm going to lay it aside. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to, because I know where it's pulling. Are we willing to lay aside? That in part is going to start answering our personal questions of which wolf is going to win. What are we willing to cut off? What are we willing? There is another very familiar passage that says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and what? Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We're going to bring into obedience every thought. I can't help every thought that comes to my mind. Can you? I can't help everything that comes in. But what we do have the power through the Lord is, am I going to dwell on it? And am I going to keep mulling it over and thinking about it? Or am I going to say, Lord, that's the bad wolf. I'm not going to give it room or space in my mind. And so now, what am I going to start doing? I want to turn to something good to fill its place. I can't just say no. I need to turn and fill that place in my mind with something that's edifying. Something that, because I'll tell you, you know, when you get by yourself, especially it seems like at night, the devil works extra hard, doesn't he? He does with me. At night, sometimes it's quiet and the enemy can just start bombarding us. It's that battle between those two wolves. You know, it can be to try to discourage us or to try to, you know, on so many different lines. But it is advantageous not only to say no to what you know, but to fill it with something good. Start filling your mind. I've told so many young people, and I'll tell you all again, when you are in the middle of, when the devil's really working on you, sometimes you physically need to change your location. If you're in your bedroom by yourself and the devil's working you over, it may need, you need to come out and get around people, do something else, get active. Some of it's reading your Bible, but, and I'm not taking away from that, reading your Bible and praying, but it also means that I want to fill my mind with something good and edifying and not give the devil this time and this space when he starts working us over. Which wolf is going to win? It depends a lot on how we handle it when the bad wolf comes along. Don't give room, and I'm going to try to bring this to a close quickly, but there's a very familiar passage that many of you have heard quoted different times, Psalms 101, verse 3. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside, and it shall not cleave to me. In other words, it's not going to hold. It's not going to be able to attach to me. Which wolf is going to win? What are you going to set before your eyes? You know, that to a large extent is going to determine the end. Maybe not today, but next week or next year, it's going to determine which wolf will win. What are you choosing to place in front of your eyes? Subject came up in Sunday school this morning about Walt Disney movies. On the surface, you could say, oh, it's what's wrong with it? The Walt Disney Company is one of the most liberal companies in this country, and they have an agenda. And you can say, why does it matter? These are harmless children. You want to really go through and line up the spirit of the word with the spirit of what they're portraying in those movies, and you're really going to come out saying they're harmless? Mm-mm. You won't. You can't. When you begin to see what it's pushing, of the fantasy of what's out there, and see what you watch has a lot more even than you just read a fairy tale. What you watch for little, much more greater effect. Much greater effect. And to say it's harmless, this one, I'm not going to set something before him because I know it's going to have an influence. The things that you, one of the greatest temptations for our young people today is the music they listen to. The music that we were tempted with in my generation, in the generation before me, doesn't even compare
to some of the stuff that the enemy's tempting our young people with today. Which wolf is going to win? Are we going to choose to say, you know what? I'm going to recognize I'm in the flesh and this does affect me. I mentioned last week, I believe, you put a rock under a dripping faucet. After a while, it's going to get a hole in it. Can't come along and say, oh, there's no hole in it. But after a while, it's going to have an effect. Scripture says, and this, he said, flee also youthful lust in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. Which wolf is going to win? Flee also youthful lust, but follow after. Don't just run away from what's not good, but fill your mind and fill your heart. Follow after faith, righteousness and faith and charity and peace. Which wolf is going to win? You want to hear the end of that story? Young man, that boy, he looked at his grandfather and he said, but which wolf will win? And the old chief simply replied, the one that you feed. And that's my message to you all this morning. There is power in Jesus Christ. There is power in the Holy Spirit to keep us from sin. But we're still in the flesh. So, which wolf are we going to feed? Have you ever been hurt and just thought about it and talked about it and considered it and just... I've known people that have done that for years. Do you know what wolf they were feeding? And they think, well, I just don't have power. I don't, what have you been feeding? What we feed grows, folks. So let's feed what's good. Let's feed those things. Let's feed forgiveness. Let's foster an environment in our minds, in our homes. I had a parent tell me something one time. And they said the young people, blah, blah, blah. And I thought about it quite a bit. And I thought, no, you're talking about your children. Your children said something. And as I reflect, I thought, I know where your children got that. They got that from you. I didn't tell them that. But I'm pretty sure that's where they got it. And I thought, what kind of environment are we fostering in our homes? What kind of environment are we fostering? Saints, let's feed the good wolf, and excuse the analogy, but let's feed what's good. Let's not foster an environment of unforgiveness, of impurity, of strife, of pride, but let's feed the things that are good because that's the one that's gonna end. That's the one that's gonna win. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's kind of just a little different way. Chief was kind of saying the same thing. You know, what you sow, what you plant, what you water, that's what's going to grow. So what do you want to grow in your life? Young people, children, what do you want to grow in your life? I want the things of God to grow. I want to be like the Lord. I want His holiness in my life. But we're in a battle because we're in the flesh. So which wolf will win? I have no doubt in my mind. I remember my dad was giving me a spanking one time. Actually, I don't remember. He told me. It was more than once, too. But I remember my dad telling me the story. I was just a little boy, and he was out in the car fixing to do business. And Brother Austis walked by, and he said, well, he said, are you having a little battle of the wills? Little battle of the wills. And my dad told him, he said, yes, he said, but there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. You know, we need more parents like that. I say, Lord, help us as parents. But I have no doubt in my mind this morning which wolf is going to win. The one I feed. So Lord, help me to feed the good things of life and get rid of those things that I know are a hindrance to me spiritually. And I have no doubt in my mind which wolf is going to win in your life too. Let's follow after righteousness.
Amen.